Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, November the 6th, 2025. 17 and a half minutes past the hour. About 34 degrees here in Marion, a crisp, chilly autumn morning as we head toward Thanksgiving. Glad to have you with us along for the ride today. Want to do a bit of housekeeping to start off the show here. The Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar, 455 Lee Street here in Marion, will be this Saturday, November the 8th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A large selection of baked goods, homemade candies, popcorn balls, decorations, gifts, crafts, and miscellaneous items will be for sale. The lunch menu is shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soup, desserts, and beverages. It's the Lee Street Presbyterian Church's annual bazaar, 455 Lee Street here in Marion, this Saturday, November the 8th, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., lunch served from 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. Now, yesterday, went through McDonald's. We were doing a taping here last night at the studio. Went and had a little dinner at McDonald's last night and got three coupons from them. Now, I'm not sure why we got the coupons. I'm not sure if everybody's getting the coupons. I don't know. But here's what the coupons are. It on one side, it says earn free food with the app. But on the other side, it is actually a coupon. And here's what it says. There is a limited item at McDonald's. It's called a Buffalo Ranch Burger. I don't even know if it's a Buffalo Ranch Sandwich, let's say. And it doesn't even really say what it is. But it looks like chicken, bacon, tomato, some kind of cheese, some kind of lettuce on a different kind of a bun, let's say. And at the bottom, it says you can get a free medium fry and any size soft drink with the purchase of a Buffalo Ranch McCrispy sandwich. So it's the Buffalo Ranch McCrispy sandwich. Now, this is only valid at the Marion Waldo Road location. So this is the one out here by the mall. And it expires on November the 22nd. So basically, you buy this sandwich, the Buffalo Ranch McCrispy sandwich, and you get a medium fry and any size soft drink. And I've never gotten these at the other location on 95, but we got three of these. And we've got all these, the leftover candy from the Industrial Channel from Halloween. So maybe we'll do some giveaways today. Maybe. We haven't actually done giveaways with prizes in a long, long time. But you would have to come pick these up while Linda's on the air today. She'll be on from 10:15 until noon. So I guess I would just leave these here for you and you could come get them during Linda's show. You could check out the new spray tan place across the way, but maybe we'll give these away as the show goes along today, if everything goes well. A some more housekeeping here to do this morning. Want to talk about some listeners. And this is sad, but I think it's important to do. I learned a couple weeks ago that one of our longtime listeners, a matter of fact, it came to me this way. I wasn't even aware that this person was a listener. Her name was Amanda Himmler. 36 years old, by the way. Amanda Himmler, age 36 years old. About 2 or 3 months ago, I got a private message that she wanted me to cover a River Valley School Board meeting because there was an issue involving school buses that she wanted me to cover. And she said she had been a listener of the program for quite a while And she listened every morning, and she would like me to come out there and cover this issue with school buses, River Valley School Board meeting. And on that night, there was something else going on. I don't remember what was going on, but I couldn't make it to the meeting. But she started to call into the show. And this has been, you know, probably September, early October, she was calling in. And you probably remember her. She had a younger sounding voice. And she had a strong voice when she would call in. And I'm trying to remember some of the things she talked about. But she gave her opinion on a lot of things. And it was always fun to have her call in. And that was kind of that. And I was very sad to learn that Amanda died, I think it was late October, at the age of 36. So I was so sorry to hear. I was shocked, age of 36, that Amanda passed away in late October. I don't know if any of you remember her voice when she was calling in. And it's interesting because she sent me another private message not too long before I heard that she had passed away. And she had said that she was going in for a procedure, and she was a little nervous about it. Now, I don't know if her passing has anything to do with that procedure that she was having done. I don't know what the procedure was. I don't know anything about it. And at this point, it doesn't even really matter. But I am sorry to hear that one of our listeners, longtime listeners, and somebody who called in, you probably heard her voice in the last 3 or 4 months, Amanda Himmler, died at the age of 36. And then yesterday, and maybe one of the reasons I'm doing this today, you've probably heard me say this name, he did not call in a whole lot, but I would say I got a message from Kevin over on the message machine here. And his name was Kevin Griffith. And Kevin, I don't know how long he'd been listening to me, but a long, long time. And Kevin would send messages, and he would send private messages, and he was always very supportive of things we were doing. And his mother was Brenda Griffith, and Brenda would call in, and she liked to play the games that we would do here on the station. And I was so shocked and sad to learn yesterday that Kevin Griffith had passed away, died, at the age of 51. Very unexpectedly. And Kevin liked wrestling. He was a wrestling fan, so anytime we did anything with wrestling here or had a wrestler on, he was always very interested and always found that interesting. And a matter of fact, this past summer, when we did the thing with Mary Ellen Withrow over in cemetery, the St. Mary's Cemetery, at the Gypsy Queen grave, where people were trying to find where we were, Kevin and his mother, Brenda, were one of the people who found us and came out that day and got in the contest to win lunch with Mary Ellen. So I was so sorry to hear of Kevin's passing. I remember when Hulk Hogan passed away this past summer, and we did the stories on that. Kevin was a big fan of that. So sorry to hear of Kevin Griffith's passing at the age of 51, and Amanda Himmler gone at the age of 36. Both way too soon, both in the last month, and both longtime listeners here of this station. So I always say, without the listeners, we wouldn't have any kind of a show here. So wherever they are today, we hope they're still listening, and we hope they're doing well, and we send our condolences to their families and friends. But I did want to mention the names. Amanda Himmler, gone at the age of 36, and Kevin Griffith, gone at the age of 51. I believe Kevin also worked at Whirlpool for a long time. He still might be out there, or might have been out there prior to his passing. But sorry we have to do that, but glad we can recognize them, because, again, without the listeners, we wouldn't be doing much here. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And if Kevin's mother is listening, I hope she heard that, I don't know, little soliloquy we did there this morning. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, we're still coming off the election, I guess. You know, I looked at social media a little bit yesterday, not a whole lot. I got a little more sleep last night, so I'm a little more coherent today, hopefully. Not fully coherent, but hopefully somewhat more coherent. And I don't know. It's interesting to see what people are saying about the election. It's interesting what people get hung up on when it comes to the aftermath of an election. I don't know. I mean, it's over. What can you do? The people got elected who got elected. Scott Kreider, Aaron Rollins, Danny Clark here in the city. Ron Prater reelected. And basically the Charter City went down. Those seem to be the big issues. Now, the Charter City going down by 10% as I knock a set of headphones on the floor. Let's go back here. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yes, we didn't hear from you yesterday, day after the election.
Well, I was busy in the morning, and let's see, the day... Well, your phone line kept ringing busy, 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 so...
We were busy yesterday, I'll say that.
But thank God. I think that the electorate saw what I would consider... the fraud that was perpetrated or trying to be perpetrated against them with the Charter Commission. And I'm glad that it failed this time because there were people who should not have been on that commission. But most importantly, it was too soon. Anybody who wanted to be a candidate really didn't have a lot of time to think about it because the deadline for filing petitions, I think, but 7 to 10 days, something like that. So Marion certainly should pursue a charter, but there should be more people and a better time, a time frame to collect signatures.
Well, you know, there are two schools of thought yesterday, and I had these conversations with people yesterday. One was Aaron Rollins, who was on the show yesterday, and he's the one who brought the charter to council this past go-around. And Aaron said that he would have no plan to bring it back to council because 10% is a resounding defeat, and they sold this on the idea that we want the people to speak. People, tell us what you want. And when you lose by over 10%, that's not a small margin. And I think that's what shocked everybody. As I said going into the election, I'm not sure if it's going to pass or fail. I wouldn't be shocked either way. What did shock me was the amount of votes it failed by, the percentage that it failed by. So I think if people wanted a charter commission, it would have been closer. If it was 2 or 3%, I would say, well, maybe people weren't happy with the candidates. They weren't happy with the candidates, so they voted against it, and it didn't pass. When you lose by over 10%, and it was not highly publicized, I think that means people don't want it. And I think that's what Aaron was saying yesterday. And Jason Schauber also said that. He says he does not believe council should bring this again, that if it's going to happen, the people should petition it to be on the ballot. Council should not have anything to do with it. Because if there's that many people that want it, then let them do the legwork on this.
Well, that's an interesting point of view, but the fact of the matter is there wasn't enough time to get a good field of candidates, and one only needed 5 signatures of registered voters. Now, some of the other contests that would be happening, say for judge or city solicitor, so on and so forth, how many more signatures do you need? There are more than 5 to get for those positions. The thing was just really, I think, railroaded. There wasn't enough time to educate the public. This is what a charter is. This is what a charter can do for you, so on and so forth. And it was kind of, in my opinion, they wanted it, the administration wanted it to either fail or pass by stacking people that work for the city on that board.
Right, but here's the problem. Here's the problem with that theory. And I'm not saying that's not what happened, and I'm not saying that is what happened. But if somebody would try to do this, let's say within the next 5 years, if they would try to get it back on the ballot. Now, if you're going to work that hard to do it as the people and not as the government, don't you think those same people who will still be in power for the most part, don't you think those people who were on the ballot this time who are adamant about this are going to be the same names you're going to see again?
Maybe, maybe not, but just think how much larger that pool of candidates could be.
I don't know. There is, like I said, they kept the votes, they kept the petition number very low at five names, because they wanted people to have the time to get on and be able to get on. And there were
that's the operative word, time. There wasn't enough time to really let candidates go out and be known. It was a rush job. Only five.
Right, but what I'm saying is there were a lot of people who were very aware of it who had no interest in doing that. And one of the things is a lot of working people simply don't want to make the time commitment to be a part of anything like that. And that's what I say about the Charter Commission, and I think it's one of the flaws of the whole charter idea, is that
it can be said true for any city council or any position within the city.
Right, but they get paid.
Get paid, but the fact of the matter is, that's why, and you keep going on, why can't we get good candidates? Why can't we get good candidates? That's the reason why.
People
don't want to take the time, and the low voter turnout is caused by both Democratic Party and Republican Party.
Right, but
the taxpayers are tired of the same swivel that keeps going around and around, and, you know, the same old adage. Do you know when a politician's lying? When they move their mouth.
Yeah, but I would disagree with that to a certain degree, because what I have said was it's the amount of money. Because I don't expect anybody who's going to do a job 40 hours a week to not get paid for it. I'm not saying we should take money away from all public officials. What I'm saying is you need to look at what the average income is in that community, and then you need to up that a little bit, because these are positions that have a little more expertise with them. You need a little more expertise, but don't go through the roof. I mean, if you're trying to attract candidates by using the dollar signs, what you're going to get is people who want dollar signs, not necessarily good candidates. And you can be a terrible, terrible auditor, treasurer, mayor, even if you have qualifications. So that's my point. But the Charter Commission is not a permanent position. It's absolutely free. It's like sitting on the board of a council, like the Historical Society. You know, and that's why they have trouble getting board members, more or less, because it's a commitment. It's a free commitment that you have to do, and it's hard for a lot of people's schedules. It's just not conducive. And again, if you can make that commitment for whatever reason, what is your big push for the Charter Commission? Because the big push this time around was the finances of Marion, the auditor and the treasurer. Well,
and that's only because it was rammed through. They felt that, well, okay, we have a 50-50 chance. We'll either win for a charter or not. And if we do, we can change everything for the auditor and treasurer. But they didn't realize or even consider, okay, we need to do more than just those two things, because that in and of itself looks like this is retribution.
Well, all I'm going to say is if this came about in the next 5 years and there has been no major change in the makeup of the people running the government, I'm going to guess 80% of the names you saw this time are going to be there again.
I think the chief of police said he was retiring, wasn't he? Well, yeah, so he would be retired at the first of the year should the commission be seated, right?
Right, he'll still be around.
And then the mayor?
Mayor could still be in office.
He might not be in office.
But he could be.
Possibly, but I think he's getting the taste of that this job isn't a rosy cakewalk, which I think he probably thought running for it. And then now that he's gotten into it, it's quite a quagmire.
Well, no, I don't think it's an easy job. All I'm saying is when people push something heavy, and certain people were pushing this heavily, what is the game there? Why? Why are you pushing it heavily? Most things that go on the ballot, most people who vote do not get that heavily involved in any particular race. And I have to wonder why somebody who's heavily pushing this is doing that. What's the reason? And I can't imagine they would just go away and all of a sudden become disinterested if it would come about in the next 5 years.
Well, it could be that their ambition exceeded their wealth.
Well, I don't know. I think that if the citizens bring it, and there are really that many citizens who want it, then you might see it again. But I don't think this next council that was just elected, would have anything to do with putting it back on the ballot, because it's going to look like they're trying to shove it down the voters' throat, whether they like it or not. And, 10% is not a close margin. That's also something.
Well, for Marion, it's a significant amount.
Right. So if you fail by 10%, I would almost bet 10%, that I would guess 70% of the people who voted didn't even know who was running for charter commission. So I don't think that was their reason for voting no.
You get inundated, you got 23 people, oh my God, and then to do the research, and, it was, I think, a good effort by the League of Women Voters to put together those bios, and the Marion Star put together bios, but then the issue is distribution. How many people are actually getting that information to make a better informed decision when it's time to vote?
Well, only 24 people turned out in general, and there were other things on the ballot that apparently didn't bring people out either.
Well, I think it a referendum would have been the way to go. Someone to head that up and get it going. City Council, I think Rollins' position on that is probably the best way to do it. Let people bring it before.
That was Schauber's position. Rollins said he just isn't going to bring it.
No, Schauber. So if it had passed, I was looking forward to working with Schauber. Lemke, John Shank, the other names escape me right now, naming Craig in that. But I'm glad to see that it did fail this time. And if there's a need, perhaps in the future. But the most important thing is we've got to get the finances of this city straightened out so we can move forward.
Well, there's a new treasurer.
Pardon?
New treasurer, January the 1st.
Say it again?
I said we got a new treasurer January the 1st.
Who's the new treasurer?
Vidya. Tommy Reese retiring.
Okay, treasurer. I was thinking auditor there for a minute. It didn't register. Okay, but she's somewhat limited, although I got to believe with her experience, she could be a great benefit to the auditor and maybe help root things out and get the house in order.
Well, I think the auditor of state is going to help get the house in order. People are forgetting that.
With video on board, that can only help the city, I think. And I think that the state auditor might see that with her experience and everything, that it might alleviate some of the angst that the state auditor has. So hopefully we'll get back on track.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work. From my understanding from Jason Schauber, what will probably happen is we'll be put on watch, which means these people will have to come up with a plan for how they're going to better handle the finances in Marion, and that means the people who will be putting together the plan will be the people who've been mostly part of the problem, and if they do not follow out that plan or they do not implement that plan within a certain amount of time, then we'll go on warning and the state auditor will start taking care of everything. And if that's where we're headed, that's where we're headed.
It's kind of like a business going into receivership.
And I would highly doubt that a new treasurer, who is part-time, is going to make a big dent in that.
You never know. I mean, my understanding is she's retired, so she just might do it. I mean, she was instrumental in bringing the wall that heals to Marion.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
So I think she's got dedication in that, and, all we can do is hope for a better tomorrow.
All right, we'll see.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. All right, again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If there's anything on anybody's mind this morning, feel free to buzz in. 44 minutes past the hour here, Thursday, November the 6th, 2025. I don't know. I'm sure there are people who would like a charter city. There always have been, though. I mean, as Mayor Schertzer said the other night during his interview, I mean, this came up during his term and time on council. So there you are. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You're all bright-eyed tonight.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I actually got some sleep last night.
I'll bet you did. Hey, I have a question. Now, this goes way back. But did the city's money started getting really screwed up when they sent the check to the wrong place?
Well, it depends on who you talk to at this point. Now, if you would talk to Mayor Schertzer, and you would talk, who was there at the time, and you would talk to... I think the current auditor, and you would talk to the council that was there at the time, for the most part, I think they would say yes. Now, if you would talk to the auditor who was there at the time, or you would talk to some of the people who are not happy, the current council, I think they would say no.
Well, was that when... That wasn't when Kelly was...
No, that happened under Landon.
Okay, but, because they thought, well, no, when did this get? And then I remembered about, which would have been an honest mistake but why did those two different places accept those payments if they were made out to the other place? Why didn't they just call and say, hey, we'll send this back, this isn't ours, not just assume they wanted to prepay?
Well, if I remember back, because we were covering a lot of that at the time, I think that was the first big story that we had heard, that there was trouble in the auditor's office. But then there was a conversation, and I believe Mayor Schertzer could speak better to this than I could, but I do remember him coming on that he had had a conversation with the state auditor and had found out that the books were not being reconciled properly. And that's when a whole lot of other problems started and never really got fixed. But again, that is their opinion, the auditor at the time, and other people have their own opinions of what went on. But that's really the first time we heard of trouble in the auditor's office.
But I didn't, because I remembered that those two checks got switched. You know, they just went to the wrong place. And but I couldn't understand why whoever the mix-up was, why they hadn't made a contact back with the city and said, now this one came as did you intend for this one to come to us? I was trying to think, straighten that out in my mind, but...
Well, I think the state kept the money and just applied it to future taxes.
That was just dumb. Now, how many people prepaid the doggone your taxes to the state?
Well, they were electronic payments, and I don't think that the state understood why this was happening, and I don't think the IRS got it either, which is why it was such a big story at the time.
And besides that, the whole thing was, it was electronically, whatever. Doesn't technology just screw things up totally?
Well, I'm still not exactly sure what happened there. And I don't know. See, during that time, I mean, that was a very short period of time. If we go back to when we heard that payment was mismade, and then we heard that the auditor of state had come down and had a meeting and said all of the stuff that they needed to say about the non-reconciliation of books. The non-reconciliation of books is and was still the big problem. Now, are all the procedures being followed in the auditor's office today properly? Probably not. But if the books were reconciled and had been for quite some time now, I don't think there would be as much pressure. And to be honest, I don't think Miranda McGinnis would be in this job. I think sometimes we forget she was appointed to that position by the Republican Party because the last auditor resigned. Now,
well, that's true. But then ever since she's been there, it seems to me like, and not that this whole mess was her fault, but it seems to me like she's taken a lot of grief for something she didn't start.
Well, again, I think there were a lot of people whose goal is to make it look as if she started it or to make it look as if it started many years ago. Now, I don't know. I just know what happened in real time. And if there were problems years ago, certainly nobody was saying that in 21. I mean, I don't know any public source where that was said at that time. Now, if there is one, I'll be glad to say that there was.
How long was Kelly Carr in that office?
She was in there quite a while. She was in there quite a while.
I don't know. But I thought, did that all kind of start when they sent the payment to the wrong place?
That's the first time that I ever remember even hearing about the auditor's office. I don't remember hearing much about the auditor's office prior to that. But that is when, and people can go back and listen to the interviews. I mean, they're all archived. If you go back to the beginning of 21, which is when that all started, and go through the end of 21, I believe October was when the auditor resigned, you will hear what the mayor is saying, and you will hear what other people are saying about what was going on at the time.
But now, I'm not kidding you, you'd have to really want to work for the city to come in there and take one of those jobs, because nobody it seems like nobody helps each other. They just wait for somebody to screw up.
Well, I think we've gotten to, you know, honestly, I've said it a lot of times and people will kind of poo-poo it, but the truth of the matter is, the way government is now, it was not really that way 4 or 5 years ago. People were not out for each other's throats. Were there things they disagreed on? Of course there were. But it was not, you know, let's meet before the meeting and decide how we're going to vote. It was not, we're the Republicans and we're the... I never heard a council person refer to themselves as being a part of the administration. That was not going on. It was not that way. And I can't ever remember the city having a problem with somebody doing any of the positions. Treasurer, auditor. I mean, there were certainly conversations. I mean, I do remember faintly Ayers Ratliff criticizing Kelly Carr's job at one point. But I do believe she always had some kind of reconciliation when she was there.
Does it seem like that's just the times, right, starting with the President of the United States? People never used to talk about the, you know, is it because everybody thinks they know it, and so then they spread the good word? I don't remember of, I was thinking the other day, my God, election was almost a national holiday. I mean, it was very respected, and now they couldn't care less one way or the other.
Well, you know, it's weird you bring this up, because I was thinking about this on Election Day, is that one of the problems people have now is call people names. We have this thing called social media, and it's very easy to call another political candidate a name. It's very easy to make any kind of statement you want. It's very easy to attack somebody personally. It's very easy to do that now. And that creates a lot of hostility. And I think it's an insecurity on people's behalf that they feel they have to do that. Because, you know, if somebody doesn't like the show I'm doing, or somebody doesn't like the job a politician is doing, I can tell you, I have never went on social media and criticized a politician, and I have never went on social media and criticized somebody else in this business media. Because I think that shows jealousy, and I think that shows a little bit of insecurity. So I don't know why that's done now. It seems to be us against them. And in politics, especially. You know, that previous administration caused all this problem. That person is to blame. And it has nothing to do with the actual problem. It's just hostility toward the person.
Well, it's, you know, like I said, when I was a kid, Election Day was a, well, of course, just, you know, the flag and all that. We were taught to have respect for it, not, well, do they even say the pledge at school?
You know, some do. I mean, it's not forbidden. I've never seen it forbidden.
They're living in the United States.
Right.
People crying. Now, I'll tell you another thing I seen. Yesterday, I was out and about, and over there on the corner by Walmart, there was a young couple. I'm saying they were probably their late 30s, and two kids, and I would say the kids were probably 5 and 7. They had their sign out. Now, this was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and, of course, I thought, we'll walk over there to McDonald's. One of you, I guarantee you can get a job. But why weren't those kids in school?
Well, that's part of the problem. You don't really know.
But is there a law that you have to have your kids in school? They were under the umbrella that they were homeschooling them. I don't know.
Well, you could do that. It's hard to say. You know, the people have their own reasons for the things they do, and that's another group that gets criticized a lot is schools. And I don't know. It's when you have so many people missing every day, it's hard to keep a handle on that. I know one of the big things, I mean, I went to a Marion City School Board meeting, I don't know how long ago it was, but one of their major goals was increasing attendance, that they were having a huge attendance problem. Now, I do think it got better, but that's a lot of people to call every day. That's a lot of people to try to track down.
What happened to the idea that someone would say, well, they've got to go to school? I mean, you had enough respect for your kid that they went to school. But I wondered about that yesterday. I don't know what the sign said, probably help me or give me some money or whatever it was. But I thought, why aren't those kids in school?
Well,
is the sheriff or anybody of authority stop and mention that, or is it their right to stand on a street corner and beg for food?
Well, you know,
something.
Apparently you can do it. They're not going to arrest you for it, it doesn't seem like. So I don't know. Like this morning, it's a little bit of a diversion in topics here, but the conversation we were just having about the Charter City, you know, it went down on Tuesday night 10%, and what we kept hearing prior to that was, let's put it to the people. Let's go to the will of the people. Let's see what they say. Well, over 10% said, we don't want it. And we're not even 48 hours away from Election Day, and already you've got people saying, well, let's try it again. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure about things like that. I'm not saying it never should be tried again, but when you lose by 10%, it was their idea to put it on the ballot this time. So if it loses by more than 10%, why would you come back with that in the next 5 years? You're going to have the same people more or less around that you have now.
Well, I think sometimes they get in that position, and then they know it all. Or, well, yeah, we can get it through. Well, that's in a whole other thing. But I did see those people standing over there yesterday, that young couple. Now, I'm guaranteeing they were under 40. And they were there holding a sign with them two kids sitting there. And I thought, what in the world? I don't care if there's washing windows someplace or cleaning bathrooms or something. Nothing is below you if it's a job.
Well, I'll tell you something about this, though, that's interesting. Now, obviously, this did not just happen, but I don't think people realize the burden that people who are on the SNAP program are under right now.
Oh my.
As we're 6 days into this. I also don't think people realize that we are now in the longest government shutdown in the history of the United States. We now have that record. Donald Trump's got it. 37 days the government has been shut down as of today. Longest in the history of the United States government. Now,
something to be proud of, isn't it?
Well, but, and how did we get there? That 250 years in, we have the longest shutdown ever. For as much as people disagreed and didn't get along, we never had a time where the government was shut down for 37 days. Well, now we do. And still shut down, so who knows how long it's going to go. So that's something people should pay.
You talk to the Democrats, and it's a Republican's fault, and you talk to the Republicans, and it's a Democrat's fault. Now, whose fault is it?
Well, that's right, but they used to be able to. I'm not saying anybody is wrong here, but I do think that the fact that the Congress, the Republican Speaker of the House, sent the Congress home, well, how can you work out a new plan if you're at home?
Well, all I know is he's going to have a nice dining room for us.
Well, we got that, but I guess my major point here is when Thanksgiving is upon us, in just about 20 days, And the SNAP benefits don't look like they're coming back anytime soon. And the government, we now have the record for the longest government shutdown in history. And Christmas is upon us. And we vote down levies like nobody's business in Marion, like Adam H. And the Marion County...
I was really shocked at that.
And the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities.
But the senior thing passed.
Well, that tells you the age of the voter.
Right.
And so here we are voting for these things in this way. And I'm not saying people should be overtaxed, but, you know, these are services. These are things. And if we want to keep doing away with those, that's okay. But if you start seeing more and more people on street corners and you start seeing jobs dry up, I mean, the job numbers are not great. And
well, that's very well true, and it's just a stand, but it's nobody's fault, or it's somebody else's fault always.
Oh.
Now, I have family members that are very strong Republicans, and I swear they could have, and I says, I told him, I said, we're just not going to discuss it because you definitely feel different than me.
Well,
and I says, all we can do is go vote.
Well, let me say this right here in Marion, Ohio, because I want to say this for one reason, because maybe somebody out there can help. But this is Marion, Ohio. This is not Congress. This is not D.C. This is not the country. This is not Columbus. This is Marion, Ohio. We've talked on this station about the peanut butter jelly truck and the lumpy loads of laundry and all the good that they do, Luke 311 Ministries. This is from 12 hours ago from the peanut butter jelly truck social media page. Our drivers are brokenhearted because they can only cover a block or so, and then they run out of meals in 15 minutes this week. We need your help to get more meals out each night. Urgently needed. Uncrustables. Drop off 24/7 at 503 Ballantyne Headquarters. The need is suddenly overwhelming, and we need help getting more meals out. Freezers available for storage. Marion, Ohio.
Now, what's the council think about that?
You know, I haven't heard him talk about it.
I think that would be part of the city's problem. So instead of us, we should say, who's going to help feed these people? I just don't know. But all I started out, all I wanted to know was when we got in our little bind was when they sent the check to the wrong place. And that first place I could, not the check, but the payment. And what I still couldn't understand is, when did we realize that we had sent it to the wrong place? When you reconciled your books, or the next day, or when?
Well,
I don't know.
I think it depends on who you talk to at this point. And again, that comes back to calling names, and I don't know what that does.
And we've got people. And so how's the school going to be able to feed all these people?
I guess the best we can hope is that something happens quick.
Well, not as long as we're saying, I've got the ball and you can't have it.
Well, I tell you, we're going to go to break, but I hope people take heed of that.
Have a good one, Scott. We never fixed it again.
No, but we'll get through one day.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We'll be back after this important break.
For young adults, it's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like...